The following podcast was recorded just prior to New Year's Day 2023.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Ooh. Well, we made it through Christmas. Now just one more major holiday to go before life can return to normal again. Thank goodness, said the New Year's. What would we call a New Year's Scrooge? A nudge? A nudge. Yeah. That's me. I'm a nudge.
Me too.
Nudge.
I stay up till like 9:30 on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. No, actually, I think we may actually be going to a party.
Really?
I'm not sure.
With people?
With people and everything. I know. And it's not my idea.
Trust me.
It's the social butterfly downstairs. Yeah. It's her idea.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm the guy who sort of stands in the corner and go, hi, how you doing? I'm really good.
Can you refill this for me?
Yeah, I'm really good with a crowd. I'm great. You know, give me 500, 1,000 people. I'll talk to them. One, not comfortable.
Yeah.
Not comfortable, unless it's on the radio or a podcast like this. This is a podcast. And I've talked to Tom for so dang long that, you know, how many times can I make fun of his aircraft museum? I think I'm done. I can't do it anymore. So
I still like the fact that you promoted it and there was somebody who was going to come visit Seattle.
They were
Seattle
actually going to come visit it.
Like, no.
We're going to make a special trip to Seattle to go to the Model Aircraft Museum.
Yeah, these are just models, by the way. These are not real planes.
They're scale models, though.
Well, they are. That's true. They're all to the same scale. That's true.
So there's some continuity there. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald. That's Tom Cock over there in the Model Military Aircraft Museum.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. And we're here to talk money with you. We hope you had a great Christmas, and we wish you a happy new year, right, just in case we forget later. And we want to talk a little bit about the new year, because we do something crazy. It's like January 1st is some magical day where your whole life changes. And really, the only thing that changes on January 1st is that your deductible and copay reset on your health insurance. That's really about it. I've been enjoying 2022 so much financially because, I had the surgery.
Yeah.
And so I've not had to pay for any prescriptions, any physical therapy or anything. I've maxed out what I have to pay out of pocket. Now on January 1st, the only thing that's going to happen for me is that I have to start paying now.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird dividing line, but there's another thing I hope happens after January 1st, and that is we can make some money in stocks and bonds moving forward, but we'll see. It'll be
interesting. Well, it hasn't been that awful.
No, it hasn't.
It really hasn't. So, but every year, here's what we do. We all, for some reason, think we're going to change the way we behave on January 1st or January 2nd, that we are now going to take a new path in life. We're going to do something. We're going to lose weight. We're going to we're going to start investing. We're going to pay off the credit cards. We're going to be nicer to people. My wife said, I'm going to listen more patiently when you talk in the new year. I said, can't you start now?
That's next year.
I still got time. I'm not listening to you.
I'm going to mention that tonight. Try that at home. That's a good one. That's really good.
New year.
Yeah. No.
But what's the? I mean, everybody wants to change, and changing the way you manage money. Well, that's big. So
it is. You know, and one of my favorite books, by the way, of 2022 is a book called Atomic Habits, which recommended like atomic bomb habits.
I was going to say, atomic as in tiny.
Tiny, exactly.
Oh, okay. Book, I thought explosive habits.
No, exactly.
Were going for.
The book, okay. The thing I loved about it is it points out that if you make tiny changes over time, those add up. They really do. And oftentimes you're willing to make those little changes. But this story idea came from a survey I read about the 10 top New Year's financial resolutions. Now, I asked Don before we started this podcast what he thought the top one would be, and he
always spoils the podcast by asking me the questions before we start recording. And I go,
nailed it.
You should ask me while we're doing it. What?
I should
ask me the question again.
Okay. What do you believe the number one financial New Year's resolution is? Don McDonald.
save more money.
Ah, look at you. Number two was improve your credit score. Number three was have a personal budget, which I would love to have here. Number four was pay off a credit card, et cetera. You see where we're headed. But yes, that always gets me to thinking, okay, because this, we always seem to want to advance to step 87. Let's go back to step number one, and that is how to save and how to invest those savings. Okay.
Okay. Wait. Right. I know how to save.
No, I don't know if you do.
Spend less money.
Oh, look at you. That's so smart. And that was my number one thing. You got to have a realistic, I don't call them budgets, because if you say budget, everybody shuts you down. Spending plan. Say, here's, you know, kind of what we did in 2022. We want to change this. And one of the things we talked about in a recent podcast was, and I've done already some of this, clipping some of those subscriptions, clipping some of the other things that are kind of expensive. Have a realistic spending plan. Number two, you have to automate this. It's so hard to write checks to your savings. It's just a very difficult thing.
Wait, hold on. Can I step back?
Please.
You still write checks?
I just mean that in a
well, nobody writes checks.
No, I know. You're right. I meant that in a, you know, kind of like old school kind of, I shift money from place to place, but I still truly believe that the way most savings gets done is automated. I'll give you an example. I just redid my 401k contributions for 2023, because you can save a little bit more. Government's up the, and we'll go through the numbers here in a minute. They've upped the amounts. So I went in and changed it. So now next year, those automated savings will be a little bit better, right? That's another way to kind of save. And here's another one. This mentioned in the top 10 New Year's resolutions. And this is big. I think most people have a tendency to overlook this, even on a minor scale. And that is eliminating interest payments. In other words, high interest rate credit cards are killers. Even HELOCs in today's market, in a home equity line of credit, they can be expensive.
I was looking at a HELOC for somebody the other day, and I was looking for the best rates. And on a fixed rate HELOC, the rates are like 10%.
Is it that much? Yeah, no. I mean, that's, and I think even for a 30-year now, you're looking at over 6%. Remember, you and I got in it when the getting was good. So those are the ways to save. Then the question, Don, always is kind of where, right? Because this is another thing people say, well, okay, what do I do with it once I've saved it? Number one, and we talk about this regularly, you should have a short-term slash emergency fund, and you should do that, frankly, in a high-yield savings account, right?
Yeah. Oh, I agree. What are they paying these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to log in here and find they're pretty reasonable, pretty decent, actually, over three, maybe?
You mean compared with the zero of last year?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago when you're basically getting absolutely nothing.
Ooh, our favorite, Basque Bank.
Good old, which, without
which
the,
is not somewhere
not
in the mountains of northern Spain.
I was going to say the Basque Bank, yeah?
4.03.
Wow, 4.0. That's, so there you go. There's your emergency settings. Number two is if you have something you're saving for. This is another one I get a lot. Oh, I'm saving for a house, saving for a car, et cetera. Should I buy a mutual fund that holds stocks, for example? And the answer to that is no, because this is still short-term money. You don't want to put that in a stock or stocks and have it go down. You still, I think, for a particular item like that, still, I would use a high-yield savings account.
I want to interject something just because it's so funny. I'm looking at the high yield savings accounts at Bankrate. Now, Bankrate makes money by selling ads to people. So down at the bottom of the page, it says offers from banks you may use. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Ready? Money market account. This is right from the site right now from Bankrate. Money market account at Wells Fargo. What would that be paying?
Wow. And good to see Wells Fargo's back in the news again here at the end of the year, again, for big fine. I'll say 1.5 or something.
Try 0.25.
Oh,
there you
good
go.
Lord. Okay. And then How about, wait, I'm going back down.
The next one down is Chase on their savings account.
All right. Then I'll say 0.5%. They're like twice
0.01.
as generous. Oh, good Lord.
And Bank of America on this? Their savings account.
Good Lord, yes.
0.01.
Yeah. So you get the idea, by the way, that sometimes being a little more work and being a little more efficient can pay a 4%. That's quite a bit on short-term money.
It's about 400 times more. No, isn't that 4,000 times more?
I believe no, it is.
Yeah, it's 4,000 times more.
0.1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that's so. But do you agree, like if you're saving for a particular thing that might be 2 or 3 years down the road,
I think either that or you get a CD that is timed out to that period. Because the problem with the high yield savings accounts is that if interest rates do go down at some point in the future,
which they may,
then your high yield savings will immediately drop, whereas your CD, that rate's locked until you need the money. So if it's a definite, like in 2 years I'm going to buy a car, then I would put that in a CD for that period, for sure.
I think that makes sense. Then you move on to the more permanent savings, long-term retirement, those kind of things. What can you do in the year 2023? Well, the good news is the U.S. government, recognizing that inflation is here, maybe here for a long time, has increased the amounts, the maximum contributions you can make. In an IRA or a Roth IRA, you can now put $6,500 for this year. And if you're over 50, if you're really ancient, you can add $1,000. You could put $7,500 away. But it's even more impressive when it comes to your ERISA plan at work. In a 401k, Don, in 2023, you can put away.
I've got to change my number.
$22,500. And for those ancient among us who are over the age of 50, you can add $7,500. So guess what? You could save $30,000 in your retirement account.
Now we're talking real money.
You really are.
Thus, the name of the show.
I love that. And then the question always becomes, okay, where do I put the money? What do I invest in?
Because that's money.
The
401k.
The 401k, I can't tell you because we'd have to look at the 401ks, which we're happy to do. We've done a lot of those here at the end of the year. But let's just say, for example, to Roth IRA, and it's $0 to $25,000. Okay. Yeah. In today's world, I would use the AVGE.
Yeah. Again, I hate to generalize, though, with age, because I found so many cases where older people have a greater understanding of risk and volatility, and younger people have this tendency, many of them have this tendency to panic because they don't get what the market does. So you really have to, I want to add an interim step. Before you invest, go to talkingrealmoney.com and take the risk quiz. Take that risk quiz.
And so with that in mind, would you add in, and by the way, the AVGE is the Avantis World Equity, all equity fund. Would you add in a bond fund there, or would you have a target date fund or a balanced fund of some kind?
Well, I would, to AVGE, I would add a bond fund.
Okay. So then you just have how much in stocks, how much in bonds. You take the risk quiz, risk that gives tolerance. You the number. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And here's the other question that always seems to come up. At what point do I move from something as simple as one fund to a more sophisticated portfolio of several exchange traded funds?
I'm going to go with it depends.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm going to go with it depends. It depends. It depends on how much you want to do yourself. It depends on, you know, you can make more money. You have the potential to make more money a little bit, but it becomes it's fractional amounts, which matter less at small numbers than with big numbers. So I don't know what the big number is, but it's definitely, you got to be six figures.
That's where I was headed. I thought 100,000 or over.
Yeah.
You start to build portfolios. That doesn't mean, by the way, because I hear this a lot from people, oh, well, I added in because you guys talked about AVUV. I added that in. Or you mentioned VBR, added that in. No, if you already have small cap value, you don't need to add that particular fund in.
Right.
You
the
need
asset to be balanced. Classes that we're talking about adding are, you want to get real granular. You want to just, now you start talking about just small and just value, and emerging markets and adding REITs and just you get more granular to get all these bits and pieces. And what you do when you have those bits and pieces is you accomplish potentially two things. And there are no guarantees you're going to accomplish any of these things, but you potentially accomplish two things. You, because these assets don't always move in lockstep, you reduce the feel of risk, the risk feel, the volatility somewhat. And there is, or has been in the past, a tendency for some of these asset classes to outperform the market.
And I'll add a third. I mean, you add the opportunity to rebalance. You can move money from an asset class right. that does very well, a sell-off after it's gone up, and then buy something that's down.
It gives you a disciplined way
Correct.
To buy low and sell high.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that. So again, if you're trying to make add something to your New Year's resolution, and by the way, mine included saving more in 2023. I already have a goal how much I want to save. I think this is a great place to start, easy way to do it. So
my resolutions for 2023 are
You don't have any.
No, they are. Don't go to the hospital again.
Okay. That's good.
And nobody dies.
Yeah.
Nobody dies. Yeah. I don't want anybody dying this year.
Okay. Fair
enough. I'm tired of family friends
good.
Dying.
I think that's a great resolution. Really
that's
is.
It. So that's all
right.
I want.
We'll get
it's
time
all for
quick...
Christmas. Oh, wait, it's over.
It's over. You should have mentioned that earlier. Do you want time for a quick question here?
Do I have to?
No, you don't. You do anything you like.
No, I'll take a question.
Okay. All right. This comes from Stanley in Midlothian, Virginia.
Oh, Midlothian. Yeah,
don't think I know that. That
it's
city,
a lovely
town?
Community. It's okay. Up north, I think.
Somewhere. Okay. It says, thanks for your podcast and wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wondering why you prefer VT... That's Victor Thomas. That's the Vanguard Total Global Stock ETF versus a U.S. dividend-focused ETF like SCHD. My TD amount source shows year-to-date for VT as negative 14 and the 10-year performance as 9 versus SCHD year-to-date breaking even and the 10-year 14. Granted, past performance is not indicative of future results, and granted, VT has many more holdings than SCHD, so there's more diversification. I do hold both ETFs and would not want to hold only SCHD. Does holding these two funds constitute hodgepodge-itis?
No, that's not hodgepodge-itis, but it is buying what's hot after it's been hot, not prior to it being hot. A dividend fund is going to be focused on just a few stocks. That's one of the biggest problems. And when it's good, it's not as good. When it's bad, it tends to not be as bad because it's a lot like owning a balanced portfolio because you've got that dividend to help buoy the performance. But we think that you really need to separate the income part out. You're going to get dividends with a very well-diversified portfolio. And we don't really want you looking at performance, particularly 10 years or less. And 1 year is certainly not a good number. But think about this for a minute. Which portfolio is inherently riskier, inherently? Risk as in losing money potentially permanently. A portfolio with, say, well, what's VT now?
9,000 stocks.
I want the exact number.
Somewhere in that area.
So I'm making a really good point here. VT right now is 9,443 stocks.
We can say 9,500.
Let's say 9,500 versus in the Schwab.
SCHD U.S. Dividend Equity ETF.
Yeah, that has 99 stocks in it.
Yeah, so you, again, just on the face of it. Number two, when you own both of these, you own a lot of the same things because there's a lot of overlap. The SCHD is large cap. Now, it does have a value tilt to it, right? Because dividend payers can be value stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you own those 99 stocks in the VT. So you're owning the same stocks again, you know, so while you're right, you get some diversification because the strategy is different. To me, it's overlap. To me, it's chasing what has been hot, and it has been hot lately. And so can you own them both? Absolutely. Is it hodgepodgeitis? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Might be.
Hodgepodgeitis to me is when you've got
many accounts.
You've got all these various things. I mean, I don't have anything against the Schwab U.S. Dividend Equity Fund. Not at all. It's not something we're going to regularly suggest to people, but because it's an index fund, it's okay. I mean, it's got a low nice expense. Yield.
Yeah.
Huh? And the low expense. Very low expenses. Very, cheap. Very. So,
yeah.
It's just the difference. When people are looking at one or the other, we would definitely say look at VT versus this. But to have it in a portfolio, I don't see it as real hodgepodgeitis, no.
All right. There all you go. You're all ready for 2023, my friend?
Isn't it going to pretty much be just like 2022, except no. I'm going to be older?
You're going to be not in the hospital. No one you know is going to die, and the markets are going to make us all a lot of money. So it's going to be a lot different.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
How about that, huh?
Yeah. There you go. The things you know. Did you have a working crystal ball there?
It says, let me look. The future is uncertain.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it's always been. Always will be. Yeah. So thank you all for being a part of our get together here. We really appreciate you. If you would like to get a little bit of help in the new year or in the old year, I think somebody will still be around.
Absolutely.
You want a little more help than we can provide when you call us at 855-935-TALK. Which, by the way, if you're listening to the show, remember every Saturday, you can call us live on our radio show that we do in the Seattle area. You can call us wherever you are, 855-935-TALK, between 3 and 5 Eastern, noon and 2 Pacific time.
I'm amazed the number of people I talk to that are in other places that are listening. Just talked to a gentleman who was in Portland last week and said, I would just listen to you guys online on the show. I think it's great. Live. Okay.
Okay. Since we're doing the podcast right now and we're not going to take off any of our radio station.
Yeah.
That's just another sign that terrestrial radio is not long for this world. Wow. When you can listen in your car to any radio station pretty much in the world without tuning your radio dial.
And I sent you the article about Tesla et al. That are not putting AM radios in cars anymore. Sad day.
So the whole world is a-changing. Whether you like it or not, it's a-changing. So, listen to us on Saturdays, too, because you can just go to the TuneIn app or other radio apps and listen. And, but I was going to say, if you want more help than you can get.
Help, yes.
Then pester Tom anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just call Tom at 800-386-3004.
Okay. I actually answer the phone.
You don't?
Not in the middle of the night, but people are still astounded in the middle of the day when I actually take the call. And I do. Happy to talk to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless he's in a meeting or something.
Okay. But generally, I take
it. Or set up an appointment with one of our advisors. You won't get a sales pitch. Guaranteed. No obligations. Free. You get some time for nothing. Just go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the Meet an Advisor button. In the interim, when you're out and about talking to people about money, tell them that we're talking real money here on this podcast, and it's available on every podcast service everywhere in the world. I think everyone. Are we missing any?
No.
If we're missing any, let me know. I'll get us on it.
The FTX network? I'm not sure if we're there. But
the FTX network. That was for coins.
And
by the way, if you're out doing any post-Christmas shopping, make sure to take those Bitcoins with you. Put those right in your wallet. So
is there a little place you deposit those when you get there?
That's when you're out. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm Don. That's Tom. Thanks for being there. We're
going to
hang out here regularly talking real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.